Speaking of things that aren't fun to watch in the summer, a baseball team getting their teeth kicked in, which is what happened to the Pirates. If you were at yesterday's otherwise desultory 7-2 loss to the White Sox, which finished off a sweep, you saw two pieces of history. You saw one good, and you saw one bad. Don, are you aware at what the good piece of history was that happened yesterday?
Andrew McCutchen, yet again part of the good side of history. The best hitter on the team, by the way, at 38 years old.
Matched Willie Stargell with his 2,232nd career hit. Yes, we will look past the fact that he is probably the best offensive player on this team. I didn't even check to see if O'Neill Cruz has a better OPS plus. I almost don't want to check about whether or not. Yes,
they're very similar.
Cruz has a 100, which means he is by definition a league average offensive player, while McCutchen is at 97. I guess Nick Gonzalez is technically the best hitter on this team, but he's only played 38 games. That was the good history. Kutch ties and will soon pass all-time Pirates legend Willie Stargell for the most hit, or for, with more hits than Stargell. The bad history, and oh baby, is this tough to stomach. Since 1903, when they eclipsed this mark, the Pirates have remained. Cook was there to cover it when it happened. The Pirates have remained an above 500 franchise. Forget all the losing that they've done in recent years. Forget the John Russell year. 57 and 105. Forget all those 90-plus loss seasons. The Pirates went over 500 in 1903 as a franchise, and then they just started banking wins. Let's look. 91 that year, 87, 96, 93, 91, 98, 110, 86, 85, 93, 78. That was still an over 500 team. A couple lean years there. 51 and 103 don't look great. Had a couple tough years. Then they started winning games again. Long story short, they won a World Series in 1925. I'm sure you remember that. Cook also covered that one. They stayed above 500 as a franchise, or at 500 until yesterday. Yesterday's 7-2 loss pushed the Pirates to a record of 10,879 and 10,880. They are below 500 as a franchise for the first time in 122 years. And believe it or not, I think the biggest culprit here really is right this second, Ben Cherington. If I were making my chart of who is public enemy number one in this situation, it really is the general manager. I say that as somebody acutely aware of and sharing in many of the same frustrations as everybody listening to this show with the owner, with payroll, with everything else. We have seen, even though it was fleeting, a general manager under similar constraints figure it out for 3 years and, against what might have seemed like all odds, put together a team that went 94-68, 88-74, and 98-64, which the first and last of which feel almost like misprints. They're so good. The second winningest team in baseball in that three-year stretch. Problem was, of course, the team that won more games, at least it was definitely in the National League in that stretch, was the Cardinals in their own division. We've seen it happen, though. You've seen it be possible. Ben Cherington's tenure is making it seem like he couldn't win with a $260 million payroll. Like, he would just be, what's that Tom Cruise movie, All the Right Moves? The Ben Cherington movie would be All the Wrong Moves, over and over again, repeatedly. You can't even look at this roster and not see a Ben Cherington mistake staring you in the face somewhere. Oh, there's Henry Davis. What's his average down to? 180-something? 170-something? That's a Ben Cherington. Oh, there's, let's see, Key Brian Hayes. They got him with a nice fat extension. Well, that happened under Ben Cherington. He doesn't hit. Hey, Jack Sawinski looked like he was going to be somewhat promising coming up. Then the staff, led by Ben Cherington, seemed to try to change Jack Sawinski's approach. Another bad one. Ben Cherington has taken 6 years to build essentially nothing. Play an alternate universe game for a second with me. Say the Pirates listen to your pal Malzi, who would have been an idiot on this front. Say they listen to me, and they draft Dylan Cruz, the LSU outfielder, over Paul Skeens. And they use the Malzi auspices of, well, he's going to affect every game. He's not just going to affect the game every fifth day. That was, you will recall, my actual argument in favor of drafting Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz right now is hitting 196. He is a bad baseball player. I think he's pretty good defensively from what I can tell. He is a bad offensive baseball player at the moment. He's somehow worth half a win. He has not been what the Nationals thought he would be. He is also a little bit older than Paul Skenes. Not much, though. Can you imagine if you transplanted a mediocre right now right fielder, which is what he's playing there, onto the Pirates, and in exchange, Paul Skenes went to the Nationals? What would their record be? I know Skenes has a losing record. They'd be 5 or 6 games worse at least. There's no doubt. It'd be Mitch Keller, Andrew Heaney. Donnie, they would be an atrocious. I mean, it's already bad. They've won 39% of their games through 100 games. I shudder to think of what this would look like without Skenes.
As easy as it is to say that, the sad fact of it is, this year at least, think about how bad this team is in games that Skenes starts. Now, in no way, shape, or form would I justify that decision.
I'm just saying they'd be getting boat raced. They'd be getting killed in these games sometimes. If you're putting a replacement level pitcher in, it would be comedy. Their run differential would be 30 runs worse.
It wouldn't be 1-0 in those losses.
And they would have nothing to show for anything. They would be the least inspiring team in baseball. I don't want to say Rockies level bad, but like they'd be worse than the White Sox. Do you disagree with me there? They'd be the second worst team in baseball. They're probably third worst right now.
I agree.
So maybe when I say it like that, it's not that bad, but he's 6 years in. There's nothing. There's nothing here. Oh, wow, he's found some bullpen arms. Great. Where's the hitting? Where's any semblance of pipeline of position players coming up through this organization ready to make a difference? My God, I've had to hear about Nick Gonzalez so much that people talk about him like he's Joe Morgan. There's literally almost nothing outside of Paul Skenes and Mitch Keller playing pitching pretty well this year to be really excited about. They do not have, other than Cruz and Kiner Falefa, who's going to be gone in a week and a half anyway, they don't have a single position player above one WAR this year. Not one guy other than those two. And Cruz is barely there. And as many people point out, if anything, he's like an avatar for disappointment for people because of how frustrating it is that they cannot get his full talent unlocked.
This is why I almost feel bad for Neil Huntington years after the fact, because he went out on such a bad note because of the Chris Archer trade to people. But think about where the team was 6 years in to his tenure. Think about it. Just take a second.
Okay, I'm thinking.
They were one of the best teams in baseball, and then they would continue to be one of the best teams in baseball over at least a 3-year stretch, which, okay, it's only 3 years, but it's 3 years that we will never see. I can almost guarantee it, 3 seasons that we will never see under a GM like Ben Cherington. Huntington took his lumps, absolutely. I'm not saying the man batted 1,000.
It got really bad at the end, and I think guys like Jim Benedict and Ray Searidge, and he had like some right place, right time stuff, and he had inherited McCutcheon and Neil Walker from his previous his predecessor. Like, there are some things that worked in his favor, but like at some point, Don, and I'll let you finish here, it becomes about have you produced a single result? And he did produce results. If baseball is about building a team that stands up to a 162-game long haul, they did it 3 straight years.
And we saw a pretty consistent progression from them, too. Like, okay, 2010 was the bottom-out period. They go 57 and 105. But you saw some players, as we referenced earlier, with McCutcheon, Walker, Alvarez, Tabata, even Garrett Jones. You could at least circle some players behind what could be an eventual winner. 2011, they show promise in the first half. They have a terrible second half, falter out. 2012, kind of the same deal. 13, they put it together. Like, that's what it should have looked like the last couple of years. We should have seen real promise, true promise, and then continue to build on it. Now we saw 76 wins in 2023, which got us excited because they went from 62 to 76. We thought, okay, build upon that. Maybe we see a playoff team in a couple of years. They draft the best pitching prospect of the last quarter century, and 2 years later, they look like a team that's bound to lose 100-plus games.
On pace to lose 98 right now, and it feels like it's going to get even worse because they're going to sell off some. Kiner Falefa is by war their best position player. He's not going to be here. Heaney's been getting roughed up a little bit more regularly now, but like he's chewed up innings. So yeah, I'm sure Bubba Chandler should be the counterweight to that. You would assume you'll see him here at some point, but I don't know, man. Like it's not only that they're bad, it's that it also looks like they're bad and they're starting to not care again, which I know is maybe more Don Kelly's purview, which he's a whole separate topic. And it's through no fault of his own, but man, I think this is more me lashing out at what I perceive to be a little bit of too much crowning of Don Kelly too quickly. God, do you remember Nightingale said he was in the manager of the year race 2 weeks ago? They're 27-35. I am aware that they are mired in the worst stretch of his career, his brief career as a manager, but you can't just throw that out the window and say it doesn't count. They won six games in a row, and then the bottom has fallen out on them. Just when it looked like maybe, yeah, does Don Kelly have something going here? No. Now he doesn't. Listen to this. The three highest attended home games of this year, I went through Baseball Reference and searched it that way. So you search via attendance and you see three home games smack dab on the list here in order. They have been outscored now 22-8 and they've lost all three. So the times that they're trying to get people there to say, hey, look, this team is maybe worth coming out to see more often, they have just laid an unbelievable egg. And there's a lot of gripes you could have, and there's a lot of directions you can choose to go with this team. I will continue on this one. I've never seen a worse GM. I think he's worse than Dave Littlefield was with the Pirates. I cannot remember. I go back thinking about Cam Bonifay when I was much younger. Charrington's worse than all of them. He had, I think, at least some raw material to try to move around the chessboard to try to parlay into some young talent. He didn't do it. He actually got right the most important question he's had to get right, Cruz or Skeens, in his career. The fact that that has done almost nothing to actually, in fact, it hasn't improved the Pirates' fortunes overall, is a testament to how horribly he's done his job in every other facet. He was given a certain budget by the owner who I think was probably having some misgivings about bringing him back to begin with. I'm sure it wasn't a big budget, but it was a budget nonetheless. And what do we find out he spent a decent amount of it on? Analysts. Numbers crunchers. People to try to extract more water out of the rock instead of actual baseball players. Even one baseball player that got people excited. It felt like a low point of the Bob Nutting era. This weekend at PNC Park, I was there. The vibe was not good once things turned in that Saturday game. It was very bad. And yet I think right now the person I am most upset at actually is Ben Charrington. 412-928-9370. That's the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ben Charrington, is he the guy? Are you like me? Are you like almost more frustrated at him than anything? Rumors that he was going to get fired today, I sussed those out last night, was not hearing anything to that effect. But I do think Ben Charrington, if this team continues apace, has almost no chance of keeping his job. Where do you rank him? Is he the guy that you're most rankled at? Because right now, he's number one on my list. 412-928-9370. And this is the other one. If you're a Pirates fan, is this as bad as it's been since Bob Nutting took over as the principal owner? That would go back to 07. There have been some lean years and lean times.